It's 6:38. Yeah, can any of you please give me, I mean, if you're in Khayelitsha, if you know some of the background of what happened yesterday with that eviction, why were those people around him encouraging some of them, shouting toward the law enforcement officers? You know, is there a background story to this, and why his house only? It wasn't as if it was a full program of, like, destruction of residences. They literally just took down his house alone. In that particular video clip, there may have been more to it. This, of course, is the man who was evicted from his home in the nude in Khayelitsha yesterday in broad daylight and in front of a whole neighborhood of people. Just shocking. Shocking behavior. All right. Let's turn our attention to Trendspotting Thursdays. So we love chatting to Ryan McFadyen. Today we're going to be speaking about something that has been, I suppose, really increasingly prominent under COVID-19, especially with South Africa, who happened to be a little bit behind on this one. We're going to talk about the evolution of e-commerce.
Join the lockdown conversation now on Cape Talk.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you this morning?
I'm well, thanks, Rafua. How are you?
Excellent. Are you still in the KZN area?
I am still hiding out up here.
Well, we do miss you. I'm glad you're staying safe out there. The nice
Thank
thing
you.
Is things are pretty much delivered to anywhere in the world now. Talk to us a little bit about the evolution of e-commerce here, particularly in South Africa as well.
Yeah, so it's. I mean, I don't think it's particularly interesting in the fact that, you know, everyone knows that e-commerce has been growing. You know, what we're starting to see is obviously, you know, more and more South Africans adopting shopping more online. Internationally and globally, we're seeing huge growth. I mean, the US saw total spending in May hit $82.5 billion, which is a 77% year-on-year growth. So we're really starting to see huge growth. But what really is interesting is two major trends that we're seeing emerge along with that growth. The first one really is the evolution from what we call omni-channel retail to multi-channel retail. So for the listeners who don't know what that means, basically an omni-channel retail strategy is when you have both a physical and digital presence from an e-commerce perspective. Okay. So obviously real-world stores and an e-commerce store. But there's this evolution to what's called a multi-channel retail strategy. And what that means is that you actually don't have a bricks and mortar store, but you sell across multiple online channels. Now, you would have an e-commerce store. There's aspects like having your own web store, being available on e-commerce channels and marketplaces such as Superbalist and Takealot.
Right.
But where I found it really interesting is where social media and influencer retail is becoming more and more prominent. So what we mean by that is obviously you have the ability now to sell through social media channels like Instagram with swipe up functionality, and you also have the ability to sell on Pinterest through their tagging functionality. And that's becoming a bigger and bigger aspect, which many people in South Africa don't seem to actually be utilizing. And the second one is influencer retail. So actually creating programs with influencers where they serve as your retail channels through promoting to their audience. And you allow them, like you would a traditional retailer, the markup in your product actually then gets sold on or handed over to the influencer, which I found very interesting.
That is interesting. So, okay, so they actually have to now prove that they convert into sales, because that was always the concern with influencers is that, yeah, they may catch eyeballs, but does it actually, you know, translate into anything?
Absolutely. So what we're seeing is your sort of early adopter influencers, in South Africa are starting to see the value in it, because typically, let's say you're able to charge a percentage of your follower base as a fee to broadcast. So let's say 10,000 Rand for 40,000 followers as an example. Now what the early adopters are seeing, well, if I can actually sell 1,000 units and get a markup of 40 Rand, I'm actually making significantly more through actually partnering with retailers. And what we're seeing now is with your, I mean, across the internet, we're seeing pay-per-performance advertising becoming more and more key. This is now seeing that trend also progress into influencer marketing. And what it allows our smaller retailers who, for instance, can't necessarily afford a real-world retail space or have had to close it down because of the pandemic, seeing a reduction in risk through this process because you're only paying the influencer for what they actually sell as opposed to promoting the brand.
Okay, so you become a consignment seller.
Absolutely.
So here's something interesting. Now, this year and late last year, a couple of you started out speaking about the huge increase that's been happening in the US. We saw the likes of Toys R Us shutting down, classic icons like Barney shutting down. 400 executives at Bloomingdale's were fired yesterday, and those were mostly in-store managers. So you can see that the cost of having bricks and mortar stores is weighing down. And then you turn it to the South African example, and then you have these, I suppose, two extremes. You've got a Yuppie Chef that started off online, and I think you've spoken about them before, and then you've got the Titan, Edcon, which was falling, and I don't think it has any Edgar's sort of online presence. What should I take away from this if I'm a person who has retail? I mean, must I enter the market purely on the multi-channel perspective? Sorry.
Yeah, so I think that the smaller sort of brands, I think there's definitely a move away from traditional retail and actually starting to move towards a multi-level marketing or multi-channel marketing retail program, because it just really reduces your risk. Because obviously as a small retailer, I'm having to sign three-year lease agreements to have a retail chain in a high foot traffic space.
Right.
I think for your larger retailers like your TFGs, like your Edcons, etc., there's this bigger movement to being more aware of being on e-commerce and what it means to really progress e-commerce and digital retailing. And what we're starting to see, and I think this is what's actually quite scary, if you look into the US, there's and actually also into China, there's a phenomenon known as dead malls or ghost malls, where foot traffic or occupancy has dropped to such a degree that these malls are becoming abandoned.
Wow.
And so for shopping malls, how they're adapting in this big trend that's happening is they're having to become more than just a retail space, but actually also having to become an entertainment space. And so you're seeing a lot more malls having to adopt to have entertainment built into the mall as opposed to just retail. And that, I think, will then allow your sort of shopping malls to create a bigger reason to have retailers in their stores, but also retailers to actually really evaluate the foot traffic and the value that those spaces are bringing to their business.
Sure. All right. So then bringing it back to the digital space, the other area that is a shifting and evolving in e-commerce would be the sustainable packaging issue.
Yeah, so we've always spoken around sustainable products becoming bigger and bigger. We've seen it within clothing, we've seen it within FMCG, we've seen it in that space. But one of the big concerns that are happening is as e-commerce really starts to grow, you know, we're utilizing more and more packaging in order to ship these programs. I got a box the other day where the box was probably an A3 size box, but the package that I had actually ordered was A4.
Right.
And so it was filled with lots of packaging in order to protect the package within Correct. That space. You can just imagine the wastage. So we're starting to see global e-commerce platforms and actually some local ones looking to actually prioritize waste-free or reduced waste packaging. So we're seeing more custom packaging for shipping being produced at a cost, obviously, for the consumer, but the consumer is willing to pay that. Right. But also what we're starting to see is, for instance, plastic-free online grocery shops, as well as more sustainable, so biodegradable packaging that's utilized in actually the shipping process.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, let's be more conscious. And I have to admit, under lockdown, I've got so many boxes that I'm just like, I don't know how to get rid of these things. Trying to stay home. So it's nice to know that it's becoming more customized and more biodegradable. Ryan, always great to hear the news and views that are going to keep us moving with these mega trends and how we live, how we do business, and how we do so consciously. Thanks so much for that in Trendspotting Thursday.